You're listening to Opus Talks, where you'll be in on conversations with insiders in the energy, chemicals, and environmental commodities markets. Guests share insights into the latest trends and innovations, industry challenges, and much more. Let's dive into the conversations that explore where the energy economy is headed, right here on Opus Talks.
Welcome to Opus Talks. My name is Denton Sinquagrana, and I'm the Chief Oil Analyst here at Opus. This is another episode of the Opus Talks podcast, where subject matter experts from Opus will discuss topics across the fields of petroleum, renewable fuels, and chemical spaces. So joining me here today, as always, is my co-host, Brandon Gormley. Brandon, it's been a few minutes since we've done one of these, and I'm really excited about this one today.
Yeah, we're back. We took a little hiatus over the summer. A lot of exciting things to talk about today. And to your point, we have a very special guest. To introduce myself, give a little bit of background on me, and I'll show why that's important here in a second. Executive Director of Business Development here at Opus. I've been here for 2 years. Prior to that, I was actually a long-term customer of Opus. Starting back in 2013, my career in oil and gas. And the very first week I started was with Cumberland Farms, and my boss at the time had asked me to take Opus Basics of Fuel Buying course. And in that course, who else showed up on my screen but Scott Burhang? So the guest that we have today is very special, not only to Opus, and we'll get into that, but also to myself, because this was the first expert, and I sort of use that term, you know, very loosely, into the oil and gas industry. It's a pleasure to welcome our guest today, Scott Burhang.
Gosh. Wow. Go on for like another 10 minutes.
Seriously. Similar to you, one of my first experiences at Opus, you know, literally a week or two, was going to one of those fuel buying things that Scott hosted along with Elaine Levin. We went to the NYMEX. We practiced trading on the floor at the time. Those guys are amazing how they were able to do it. But Scott, I've known you for, it's pushing 25 years now. So we could probably do this for 3 hours if we wanted to.
Well, you want to hear something crazy? Okay, so someone called me yesterday, and on December 18th, that will be the 45th anniversary of the first Opus newsletter.
There's some staying power right there. And you were one of the original five, if I'm not mistaken, hired at Opus, correct?
I was. I started in October 1981. And it was Tom Close, Ben Brockwell, somebody else whose name I can't remember at this point, and myself. And I came in, they had been there for a year, and then I came in. So yeah, it was a long time ago, but it was.
You know, fun. Where all the bodies are buried, all the skeletons in the closet, et cetera.
So. Okay, do I? Do I? Think I won't use it.
Exactly. So, you know, going on 45 years since the Opus first newsletter.
Yeah.
You've obviously seen tons of change in the industry. And I know this is probably a very broad and general question, but what are some of the kind of most significant changes you've seen in the business over that time span?
Wow. Well, you know, you could start with, so when I started at Opus, we all did a little bit of everything. So not only were we editors, but we were also customer service, and we were dealing with all the customer issues. I mean, you've seen so much consolidation among companies, right? When I started, there were probably 20 more refiners than there are now, especially on the West Coast. Distributors, there were more distributors. So that's changed. It's become a smaller pool of people. When I started, there was regular unleaded and premium, and it was high sulfur and low sulfur. That was it. You know, if somebody wanted a copy of the Atlanta Rack, it was literally a page. And now you look at all of the regulations that have come in and how that's changed the fuel slate and made fuel buying so much more complicated and purchasing data more complicated, right? It goes around. So those are huge changes. The move toward using spot prices as a cost basis in contracts. I mean, that wasn't done back in the 80s. Nope. People honestly didn't know what the NYMEX was back then. So now you have, you know, all these tools, like you guys have the Opus spot ticker, and that sits on everybody's desk. So I think one of the other major things that changed is people's visibility into price transparency and what's happening in the market and following news and understanding how that impacts their bottom line is just, it's a sea change. It's been huge. It's been huge.
I think one of the things that kind of stands out to me over the years, and again, almost 25 years at Opus for myself, how when I first started, a move of a penny a gallon, 2 cents a gallon was earth shattering. Yep. Now these markets do that in a matter of minutes, sometimes seconds. So,
you know, we used to put out Opus alerts, right? We would put out, well, you know, Denton, we would put out these Opus alerts. Like if we got an intraday price change from somebody for like 2 cents, it would like, we flash it out to the market because people got, you know, as my mother used to say, they would get like all famish, right? They would get crazy about it. Now you look at a penny, you look at 2 cents, you go, big deal. You know, talk to me when it's 10 cents, 20 cents. Volatility is the other thing, right? Volatility is something that has really whipsawed this business and made it important for folks like you guys. And that's one of the things that I'm proudest of is that I've been able to teach people that, right? And spread the word and make sure they understand that price discovery and having news like the stuff you guys offer is huge. There's no price on
it. Well, Denton, I think to some degree, I mean, rack to retail margins have changed so much, right? I mean, that 2 cent move, you know, could have been as much as 25% of someone's margin. We're operating off of a 10 cent margin. Now, I just looked it up the other day, and I think you did a spotlight on this. Both gas, unleaded gas and diesel, highest margins of the year, right? And they're north of 40 cents, nearing 50 cents a gallon right now.
Yeah, and they just are not moving. They're just hanging up there. So definitely a good time for those in that rack to retail space. But okay, one more on your kind of Opus history, and you were critical and key in helping Opus get the West Coast benchmark. And several years later, obviously in the early 2000, 2004-05, you were moving on to sales and education. I was tapped on the shoulder to cover the West Coast. And, you know, first off, I wanted to thank you because I probably burned the carpet walking from my desk to yours to ask you a ton of questions. But, you know, talk about how that all came to pass and, you know, how difficult it is to secure a benchmark.
Listen, I would love to tell you that I had this great plan and I saw the opportunity there and I went for it, but that's not what happened. I mean, we covered the East of the Rockies markets, right? And I'm going to say this was in the like 82, 83. And I went to Tom and I said to Tom, look, I found out there's a West Coast spot market. Who knew that it existed? And I said, I just want to start covering this. And we started publishing the numbers. And there was a major refiner who I will leave nameless. They saw the price discovery and they liked the way that we were doing it. And they began adopting that as the cost basis for their trades, right? And when they would do cargoes or they would do pipeline chunks, they started using Opus instead of our competition. And it literally mushroomed from there. It was like a domino, right? It was like boom, 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 boom. All their trading partners went and they said, okay, we'll go with Opus for a variety of different reasons. So it was really luck. I mean, I would love to say that it was something else, but it was just divine intervention and wonderful luck. I've spent a lot of my career working with people who try to replicate that model, right? They try to replicate it. It's hard. It's really hard. When you have a benchmark, people are settled in with that. It's got to be very compelling and there's got to be a reason why you want to get out of it. You know, so it's an interesting space. But that was an amazing time. I loved covering those markets. I mean, and it's so different than it is now, right? I mean, back in those days, I literally had my source sheet, right? And I had five pages like this, and I would start at the top, and I would go down, and there were like probably 35 names I would call every day. And you became friends with these people, right? And you'd get other news, you'd find out about other things that were happening. So it wasn't just collecting spot prices. It was a real education in how this business worked. I'll tell you too, real quick, a lot of how I learned this stuff was from scheduling people. Mm-hmm. That's how I learned. I was blessed that I had a couple of people that were like, no, 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 no. You don't understand this. You don't understand what a pumping cycle is or when something's in the freeze or if it's an in-tank. I'm like, what?
All things I've never heard before.
I wanted to act in movies. I don't know what the hell you're talking about. I made a wrong turn.
Yeah, I'm gonna skip forward to more now. So you've been CEO at Figma for a little over a year now. So how has that transition been for you?
God, it's been, you know, you talk about being blessed, you know, and having luck in your career and knowing people that are supportive. I love doing this. I love doing this. It's so different. It's different, but it's not. I mean, a lot of it is education, right? A lot of what Sigma does is education. So for me coming in, one of the things that I really wanted to do was take their education to the next level. And we've been working on that. But, you know, the funny thing is, Denton, all these people were my customers.
Yeah, so that they probably made the transition a lot easier considering you knew most of the membership to begin with.
I did, you know, and I used to, you know, like I'll see people, they'll pull me aside at a Sigma meeting and they will remember a bad contract negotiation that happened like 18 years ago. And they'll remember exactly what I said. And I'm like, oh my God, wow. Okay. But it's so much fun. It's so much fun. The meetings, as you guys know, and thank you for being such great Sigma supporters. I appreciate it. The meetings are a blast. It's a great time for people to network. And, you know, our advocacy is something that's new for me. I was never involved in advocacy and understanding some of the substantive issues that we have and how it affects our people. And it's a wide range of issues. So it's been amazing. Thank you for asking. It's been amazing.
I mean, Denton, I don't want to speak for you, but I mean, the Sigma events are awesome. You and I go to two of the bigger ones. They're fantastic. They're fantastic for Sigma customers. They're fantastic for the vendors. Lots of opportunity for the members and the suppliers to get together and chat and understand where value can be uncovered and see where relationships can be strengthened and, or just to catch up, right? Like how many times are we there? And, you know, there's always good things that happen when you can sort of do some business there, but if nothing else, I mean, it's catching up. And in this industry, relationships, I think, carry a lot of weight.
You know, that's so true. That's so true. And thank you for the compliments. Thank you for the, it is, I have a terrific group of people who I am blessed that I walked into this because these guys know what they're doing. They can do those meetings. You know, they've done them a million times. They know exactly what they're doing. It is a great place to network. I mean, it really is. And the nice thing is that for people who are sponsors and what we call business service partners, they get to visit with the key people, right? They get to visit with the decision makers. And that just sets Sigma apart. But yeah, it is a wonderful environment. Thank you for saying that. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no, and I agree 100%, maybe even 1,000% if that's possible. But, you know, you mentioned education being a big part of what Sigma is bringing in, what you're kind of focused on. Are there any other enhancements or things that are in the works for over the coming months and years?
Yeah. So we launched something called Sigma University. We launched it back in June. This is not only for our members, but it's for people outside of the industry as well. But we view it as a member benefit, right? So the first course is best practices in fuel buying. You take it at your desk. It's real quick. It's real easy. And that's going to grow. So we're going to do one on the basics of RINs so people can understand RINs, because every time we do a RIN session at a Sigma, we sell it out. There's no chairs left. It's like people want to hang their heads. They don't want to admit that they don't get it. But, you know, because it is complicated. So we're going to do that. We're going to do something with hedging. So, yes, we're taking education. We're making it more widespread, more widely available, making it remote for people so that the people that can't travel, they can't leave the office for 3 or 4 days, you know, they can do it at their desks. We're getting more into, we're covering a lot of retail subjects that we kind of never did at Sigma. We would sort of maybe do it, but we have a lot of people in our membership that are in retail, right? So they're distributors that have retail assets. And there's a lot that's going on in the retail world that we are focusing on. We're doing more webinars. We're trying to spread the word. We're trying to really get the word out on Sigma and have people realize that it is an association that there's a tremendous value to being part of it. Hopefully a lot of people that are Sigma members that listening to this, we want them to come to our day on the hill in July too. That's a big deal. So yeah.
Really important as well.
Yes. Oh, it's hugely important because, right now we are in a relatively tame environment when it comes to regulations and things that would impact our people in this business, right? Now that'll change. We all know that that's not going to last long. That's going to change. So the more you can educate yourself, the better.
So, Scott, when you're at these events and you're talking to whether they be wholesalers with retail or whether they just be distributors, what are some of the big challenges that you're hearing? What are some of the big questions that you're commonly get asked? My thought process here is that you guys leaning more into the education piece and more the retail piece, what topics do you plan on covering? Where do you really start to come to life, especially with the relevant issues that people are facing right now?
That's a great question. So the list, and I was just listing them before we even got on this call, and I'm like, oh my God, there's no way we can go through all of these. But succession, continuation, business continuity, this is a really big deal for these people. So what you're seeing within Sigma is it's always been about the owners of the companies, the people like the Boyettes and the Ports and these folks, right, who have been around. How do we move to the next generation? The next generation, they look at the way that everybody's been doing business for all these years, right? Whether it's procuring pizza, Fritos, or gasoline and diesel fuel, right? They're like, well, wait a minute. No, we have huge volumes. We're not leveraging our spends enough to get a better deal. So they're learning how to buy fuel. They're dealing with marketing issues, right? They're dealing with how do I compete with a hyper marketer? How do I do that? One of the things that Sigma retailers are asking about all the time is digital marketing and social media. How do I get the TikTok crowd? How do I get those kids? How do I get them to come in and buy the burgers and buy all that stuff? This is my favorite. We're dealing with a penny shortage. Did you guys know about that? It's like, I got a guy who's coming to the spring meeting who's going to tell you everything you want to know about what's going on with the penny shortage. But it's a big deal for people. It's
No,
huge. It's huge. And then,
it's a good point that you bring up too, because as you're talking through this, I'm thinking to myself, how many people have I met at the past couple Sigma events who've introduced their son, their daughter, their nephew? It's absolutely true. I think the challenge is that when you do have a line of succession there and someone who shows or expressed interest in learning the business and sort of assuming a responsibility within these really tenured retailer organizations, learning how the business was originally started and how to run the business that got them to the 25-year mark, the 50-year mark, or the 75-year mark is going to be different in order to manage the business for the next 25 years. So in some instances, it's let me show you how I got here, but I need to get you the training so that you understand how to serve the customers for the next couple generations.
and that's it. And I think a lot of people don't realize how compelling this business is and how fun it is, right? It is a nail biter because you don't know from day to day what's going to happen in the market. And you don't know if the fuel that's sitting in a tank is suddenly going to be devalued by 20 cents a gallon, in a matter of 2 days. But it is a dynamic business and it's vibrant. And some people look at it like kids that are coming up and they go, ah, it's not sexy enough. It's just not, I want to do something else. But the people who have it in their blood, they know in this business, and they know how this has to change as we move forward. Because the way it is today, it's going to look completely different in 20 years. It's going to look completely different.
So the training, the innovation when it comes to some of the remote learning, is that going to involve industry experts, subject matter experts? Is it going to involve participation from members, combination of? What does that look like?
As we develop it and as we get bigger with it, we will probably bring in other folks and we'll do so. Like the webinars that we do a rotating group of people. We'll have you guys come on, we'll have you come on, Denton, and do like a. We're launching this thing. We haven't really put it out yet, but I can give it a little bit of a plug. It's going to be called Market Monthly Market Mondays, right? And it's really for Sigma members. And it's going to be somebody that comes on. like you, Denton, and you would come on and you would talk about what happened in the last month. You know, what's going on in the markets? Here's what I see. Here's some things you should keep an eye on. So we're doing that. And that will be a rotating group of people. We're going to cycle through like a lot of the different market, I call them pundits, but there's a lot of them. They're all great. And they all have different personalities. So it'll make it a little bit more vibrant. But yeah, I do see that. We're going to do something with hedging. And my hope is that we'll get a couple of people who have actually implemented fuel hedging programs to do a little blip in the middle of the thing and just say, here's how I did it. So yeah, look, the more people we can get involved, the better.
I can't speak enough around the organization. I'm very much looking forward to some of the new things that you guys are going to roll out. Jenton and I were at the annual November event in Nashville, and it was so well organized. It feels like you guys do these like once a week. I can't imagine all of the work that sort of goes in behind the scenes to make it seem like it's just another day. Yeah. It is one of the events that when I see it on my calendar, when I'm traveling the next week or the next month, I get excited about it.
I'm going to use you in a marketing piece. Okay. I'm going to get a quote from you. We're going to put it in a marketing piece.
All right.
Thank you. So the one in Nashville was our biggest meeting ever. We had 858 people, I think, which is the largest Sigma meeting ever. There's a real buzz. There's a real buzz around it. I think people are getting excited that we're doing different stuff. Well, thank you for saying that. I really appreciate it.
I've been going to Sigma meetings for probably about 10, 15 years. And just to see how it's, like you said, Scott, it's exploded. I mean, the amount of people there, and you see people that you haven't seen in a while. It's great. And again, you know, two things I've picked up from this conversation. One is that this is very much a relationship business, right? There's been a lot of it's very competitive. There's no question about that. But it's also built on relationships. Some days, somebody could be in trouble with supply. And there's no one holds them over a barrel, pardon the pun, because at some point, they may need some help. So that's what I love about this business. Scott, you said it perfectly. It's a fun business. It's an exciting business. At the end of the day, there's a lot of successful people who have been in this business, and you see them all at Sigma. You admire them. I guess one final thing before we kind of wrap up here, kind of went through, what are your kind of top three issues right now that are facing Sigma?
So E15 is a huge issue. Sigma supports year-round E15. I'm actually going to a meeting tomorrow called a joint industry where we have people from API and EMA and Sigma and NATSO and all these other folks. And we kind of talk through these issues. So that's a big one. What's happening with the biodiesel tax credit? That's huge. And, you know, the whole concept of how and AI is huge. AI is huge for these people because it scares them. It scares them because it's, I don't understand it. I don't understand how to use it. So what's going to become incumbent upon us is going to be to educate people on all of this. But, you know, you look at E15 and you look at some of this other stuff like the RVO requirements and all this other stuff, that will change. So it will create other opportunities for education as we move forward. But those are the big ones. Those are the big ones.
Makes sense. Yeah, no, those are kind of what I hear as well. Talking to people, yeah, these are the issues. The one thing that's kind of simmered down a little bit, if you will, and I don't know if it's because of the administration, but electric cars.
Yes.
It's still there. They're still growing. It's just not the explosive growth that maybe some had expected to take place by now. So still there.
So that's a big issue for Sigma too, because our people that want to have EVs on site, there's all kinds of legal requirements on where you put them and what the distances need to be from various other things. There's fire laws. I never knew about this stuff. Like, you don't think about it, but there's fire laws that affect our people. So yeah, that is something. You're right. It's a little bit off the table right now. It's kind of backstage, but that won't last forever.
I think Brandon was kind of hinting at this, but Scott, if there's anything he, myself, or anyone at Opus could do to help out Sigma in the future, please, you know, we're just a phone call away. Or an email or whatever it takes. But, you know, Scott, this has been great. Really enjoyed it. Great to catch up always as someone I've known for pushing 25 years now. So, Scott, just want to thank you.
You're going to make me cry. Okay.
No, stop. But yeah,
Scott. It doesn't take much. Well, I can Scott, hug the cry on a dime.
There you go. There you go. And I'll speak on behalf of Brandon, but it's been an absolute pleasure. And thank you for carving out some time for us today.
Thank you for inviting me. This was delightful. I want you to come and I want you to do one of my Market Mondays. Talk to you about that. But again, you guys, thank you for all your support of Sigma. And thank you for being such good friends. I really appreciate it very much.
Thanks again, Scott. Appreciate it.
We hope you've enjoyed today's insider conversation on Opus Talks. Join us next time for a deep dive into another industry insider's world. You can find more Opus Talks episodes at opusnet.com/podcasts or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.